This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Wednesday to all of you. I have to recalibrate because I was off on Monday, so this feels like Tuesday to me.
I totally get it.
Yeah, but it's Wednesday. It's actually Wednesday. Right in the middle of the week. So we are happy to be with you for the next 4 hours. Glad you're making the show a part of your day. We thank you for that. And by we, I mean myself, Sean Pendergast, and to my right, Rich Lord.
How are you?
A radio veteran of 20 to 99 years.
How are you, Sean Pendergast?
I'm doing good. I'm doing great. I feel good. I got a little more rest last night. In fact, I fell asleep. And by the way, Brian McDonald is back behind the glass today. He's our producer. Are you feeling better, B-Mac?
I'm feeling great.
Okay, good.
Good.
That's good. Good to have B-Mac back. Thank you to Ben Gary for producing yesterday. Rich, I'm doing great. I got more sleep last night than I've gotten the last few nights because I'm back from vacation. And in fact, I fell asleep on the couch last night while watching the Astros game.
Not hard to do.
Well, but here's the thing, Rich. I fell asleep when it was seemingly just a nice, safe 4-0 game.
Well, I mean, the Verlander and the first two relievers through the first 8 innings kind of put everybody to sleep.
I mean, yeah, it was just... You
certainly
know,
they put Oakland to sleep.
Your garden variety Astros win, right, with all the usual fixins, like Justin, right, Verlander throwing 6 scoreless, a couple of RBIs from George Springer, an all-star, a couple of home runs from Alex Bregman.
Big hit by Ted in the 11th inning.
Well, that was in the 11th, but I'm just talking about up till the time that my eyelids fell shut.
Okay. I didn't know when you nodded off.
I nodded off when it was 4-0 in the 8th inning, and then I woke up, and what was happening
when you woke up?
Alex Bregman was hitting a 5-foot number in front of home plate.
So you woke up in time to see it live.
I woke up at the moment that Alex Bregman hit that little number. And, you know, look, Lucroy picks it up, and then he drops it, and then he throws it off of Alex Bregman's head. And that's how the Astros win a game where, when I had last seen this game, they were up 4-0, and there was nothing going on with Oakland. That game was the reason I kind of said, I can go to sleep now. This game's going to be a 4-0 win. Of course, A.J. Hinch has to bring in Ken Giles because he just can't help himself.
Yeah.
And that was the sort of the floodgates opening there, turning that game into one of the more bizarre and exhilarating endings to the year. So you can imagine, Rich, you have had many nights of sleep in your lifetime, and you know how it feels when you wake up, and just the world is never perfectly right when you wake up. You have to assimilate. And I woke up and I saw that play and I go, am I still sleeping? Is this the same game?
I think a lot of people
did
that.
Did I miss work today?
I think a lot of people did that. And I'll tell you what I did. When it went to the 11th inning, I stuck around through 10. When it went to the 11th inning, I said, look, I got a lot of stuff going on early in the morning. I got to get a good night's sleep. So I continued recording.
Yeah.
And I got what I needed to get done early this morning. It was fine on a couple of different fronts, and business is taken care of. I got a 20-miler on the bike. And by the way, side note, if you're doing anything outside today for any prolonged length of time, oh my God, be careful. I was out there a little later than I probably should have been.
Yeah.
I was out there until about 10:30 this morning.
Yeah.
And that's too late to be riding your bike on a day like today.
Riding 20 miles for sure.
In Houston. Yeah. So just side note of advice. But yeah, so I woke up this morning and just caught up to what actually happened a few hours ago. And yes, this will be one of the most memorable games of the Astros 2018 season regardless. It might be the most memorable. We'll see what happens between now and the end of the regular season. And the way the game ended is, I think, mostly what everybody is talking about. However, and I have kind of been, because of what I referenced there, Sean, I'm kind of busy this morning.
Yeah.
I haven't done a lot of what are people saying about this, and this. I've done enough, but not as much as I usually do. But I'll tell you what I'm thinking about with last night's game. Was it or you?
Oh, you're talking about reading lips.
Was it? Or you?
You're talking about Kenneth Giles walking off of the mound.
Exactly, because
wanting to bleep something.
I replayed it last night about 4 times, and I still don't know. My first impression was he said bleep it, not bleep you. It was only when I went back a few times and thought to myself, could that be a you? That and apparently I'm not the only one wondering that
today. The internet thinks it's a you. The internet, and you know the internet is
What do you think? Because like I said, my first impression was it.
I've watched the video several times.
I think everyone has.
Yeah, and I did a post on it today for the Houston Press. I did a post on the game and included that video in my post. I'm looking at it right now. Let me take a look.
And for those who don't know, A.J. Hinch removes Ken Giles after he gives up three straight singles to start the ninth inning of a 4-0 game. It's 4-1 when he leaves. He winds up being charged a second run. But when he's removed from the game, when A.J. basically says, I need that baseball, as he's walking away, he either says, F it, man, or F you, man.
Yeah.
And there's obviously a gigantic difference.
There is. Rich, I'll be honest with
you. And A.J. Hinch was asked about it after the game.
And we're gonna play that here in a second.
Okay.
But I'll be honest with you. Like I went into this. So, see, I didn't see this live. Okay. You remember I had fallen asleep.
I understand. So, I saw it live, but I immediately went, I got to look at that again.
So I saw the tweets about it when I saw people capture video. So I was going into it preconditioned to think it was a you, not an it. Bleep you, man.
Okay.
But I could see where it would be an IT.
I don't think it's definitive. If it was instant replay in the NFL, the call on the field would stand.
That's funny.
It's not enough to overturn it.
It's funny that you say that. Okay, so let's hear A.J. Hinch's thoughts on the bullpen in general, and that gives me about 35 seconds to think about what
right,
I think this is.
And by the way, he heard him. Whatever he said, he knows.
Yeah, and he won't tell either, that's my guess. B-Mac hit it.
He didn't make pitches, and I know you know, he comes in, he's pitched once in the last 6 days. He's very fresh. Usually when he does that, he comes out, you know, high 90s with a good slider. And he didn't get an out. You know, the inning starts with a base hit. That creates a little bit of energy on their side. You know, Lowry gets a base hit. You know, Davis gets a base hit. And you look up and it's one run. And you know, we're trying to get Rondon ready as fast as we can. I probably put him in even a little bit earlier than he was ready.
Wow. I'm with B-Mac. Our producer Brian McDonald thinks it's an it, and now that
too.
I've had a chance to look at it, I don't think Ken Giles would tell his manager after he just gave up three straight hits.
I don't either, but it feels like a good chunk of the world wants to believe
that.
Of
course,
today.
Rich, are you really? The internet wants some salacious things. Is that what you're telling us? Yeah. No, I think it's an it. I think he said, "I'll bleep it, man." I think Ken Giles. I think it was everything he could do to not slug himself in the face again while leaving the field. Probably like holding in a sneeze for him to keep his right arm at his side.
That's true. There's so many things about Ken Giles that are sort of one of a kind of things. Like, I don't know of another pitcher who's punched himself in the face after giving up a home run. I think it was in the ninth inning of a scoreless game. I don't know of another pitcher who has been as dominant in safe situations, who is as clueless in non-safe situations. Explain that to me, because it's usually the opposite. It's usually the safe situations where these guys feel the pressure and make the mistakes and make bad pitches and get beat. This guy can't handle prosperity.
I get it.
He can't handle a four-run lead. I'm sorry.
As we overgeneral, that stat lends itself to an overgeneralization, like you just said, that he's amazing in these save situations and he's horrible in all these other situations. We know this from Ken Giles. A lot of his saves aren't all that pretty. So even the
But I don't care about that. You know where I am on that.
I know. You're
into the
stats.
There can be plenty of traffic on the base paths, but if the efficiency is at a high level, which it was last year, I'm fine with it.
No, well, if the
nature of the beast.
By efficiency, meaning getting credit for a save. But the fact of the matter is, Ken Giles, when you talk about efficiency is a layer beneath, which is, okay, how is this guy going about getting it done? He's actually very...
It depends on how you define efficiency,
exactly,
because my efficiency is his save rate.
Okay, so you're like, you know what?
Was it 35 out of 39 last year?
Yeah, something like that.
I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I'll take it in a heartbeat.
Okay, but Rich, but he was very inefficient within getting those saves.
I've never
that's why I, in July and August of last year, was warned everybody that in October this thing's going to look a little ugly against good teams.
I've never disputed that. That's indisputable.
Okay, so then you and I are basically debating the definition of what efficiency and inefficiency is.
I think you and I differ on what matters most to us.
Yeah, and
that's all.
Well, And that's fine. But if you see signs within the saves that he's just not a great pitcher, that he's a guy who's he happens into three outs a lot of times by putting a lot of guys on base. Rich, we know how that works in real life.
Right, but
Rich, if you fly too close to the sun,
I get it.
On the wings of pastrami, eventually you get burned.
And it happened.
Does that speak to you? Does that help you?
And it happened four times last year. No doubt about it.
But in these non-save situations, some of these non-save situations, by the way, he's coming in and it's zip-zip or it's a tie game and he's giving up the runs.
There's pressure.
Here's the thing, Rich. You and all your little 12 for 12 saves.
Right, but coming off a 4-0 lead.
His ERA is nearly 5. That's a much better measurement for what type of pitcher he is than him being 12 for 12.
But split that between non-save and save situations, and the save situation numbers,
Rich,
are fantastic.
That's fine. Ken Giles is a terrible pitcher right now.
Well,
he's a terrible pitcher. Last night. Do you want him? Rich, he has a 5 ERA.
I understand.
He's awful.
Well, here's what I'm campaigning for, and here's why I brought up the whole thing. Why ever put him out there in a non-save situation again? Save him for save situations.
No,
it's what you
Are
did.
Are you kidding me?
It's what he did. They did last year, and he was one of the best closers in baseball. It's what they did last year,
and
he was one of the best closers in baseball.
So what you're saying is you should put this gas can of a pitcher in when it's 2-1 instead of when it's 5-0.
What am I missing? It's what they did last year, and he was one of the best closers in baseball.
He wound up with a lot of saves. Those saves wound up with a lot of extra guys on base and a lot of runs given up. And let's go look at what his 12 saves are this year. How many one-run games did he come into? I don't know. I don't know the answer to it. I just know I don't trust this guy for 1 minute with a one-run lead.
I get it. I totally get it, but the numbers last year say in those situations you just described, trusting him with a one-run lead, I believe the number was it only went the wrong way 4 times out of, 43 times or 44 times. I mean, I'll take that in a heartbeat. I'm sorry. I understand. This just, again, Sean, I think comes down to you and I differing on what matters most to us. What matters most to me is having a guy that's converting save opportunities at a high rate, and he did that last year.
And I'm going to tell you right now, when he gets in against good teams, hell, he's doing it against bad teams right now in these non-save situations.
Right.
But when he gets in against good teams, he's going to get shelled like he did in October.
See, you sound like the guy that should be saying, it was you, not it. It was you. I'm sure it was you.
No, because I've never said Ken Giles is not accountable. An accountable man punches himself in the face.
I'm joking about how you're a Ken Giles hater.
Yeah, no, I'm not a hater. I just wish he was a better pitcher.
Come on, that's a gentle way of saying how you feel about
him. Rich, I was, when he actually had a decent spurt of baseball earlier this year, I came in and in the beginning of the show congratulated Ken Giles. I don't hate Ken Giles. I hate the thought of Ken Giles pitching in a close game for my baseball team, but I have nothing personal against Ken Giles.
No, I'm not talking personal. It's not personal. It's baseball hate.
But hater means you're hating on someone who's good at their job.
I don't
think
it has to
mean that.
When
someone's bad at their job, okay, well then now we're debating the definition of the word hater, which is also boring.
Well, I'm sorry, but I just don't think, I would never assume that you have personal hatred for this guy. I think I know you a little better than that. But
I'm not even a baseball hater.
You clearly hate the idea of him being out there.
I do. In a safe situation, in an important game, I absolutely do. And I think a lot of Astro fans do as well.
Well, certainly off of last night, that's for sure.
Yeah, so I don't know. I think Ken Giles is, it's honestly, Rich, it's not even like he's a real person anymore.
It's like he's
sort of love child of Ricky Vaughn and Kenny Powers.
Right, and I'm not, I know I'm talking strictly regular season, and there's no way you can have the Ken Giles conversation. And look, this is me bringing this up, okay? Without including the fact that he became a non-serviceable pitcher in the postseason. They could not use him. He was so bad, he was not an option. And you can't ignore that. I realize that. We're in the regular season now, and all I'm saying was, in the regular season last year, he had a role, and he was one of the best at it.
That's statistically, he got a lot of saves. But within those saves, if you watch with your human eyes, it was not pretty. And that translated into bad baseball in October. And I know we need to break here, B-Mac. But this is all I'll say. The same way it is with wins in baseball. If you say that the best pitcher is the one with the most wins, that's not necessarily, like Justin Verlander's clearly been the Astros' best pitcher. He's like 4th on the team in wins right now. So I'm not going to hitch my wagon to the save statistic with Ken Giles. Like it's an implication that he has some sort of clutch gene in him, that he's amazing in these situations, and he's just, and in these other situations, he's just not really focused. He's not a very good pitcher.
I'd call that a Ken Giles hater.
That's called being a smart baseball person. Is what that is. That's called,
which I guess makes me a dumb
baseball
person.
Well, it's called looking beyond just what a save statistic is. What that is. All right.
Okay.
So I heard you and BMAC exchanging some statistics during the break.
Yeah.
Would you like to share the statistics with the audience?
Sure, if you'd like me to.
Yes.
We were talking about save and non-save situations. And I think ATT Sports Southwest had a graphic up when he came in last night, pretty much showing these numbers. In the save situations, he's, I think, is it 12 for 12?
12 for 12.
12 for 12 with a 0.00 ERA. Non-save situations in 18 innings, he's allowed 17 earned runs for an ERA of 8.5.
Yeah,
that's
remarkable.
And the whip in save situations is a 0.66.
Yeah.
Non-save 1.66. Those are the numbers he passed.
I guess my question, Rich, because you and I obviously differ on how Ken Giles should be used. You are in favor of using him in save situations because of this 12 for 12 stat.
Listen, at the beginning of the season, I was right in lockstep with AJ Hinch. I thought coming off the meltdown in the postseason, he was doing exactly what he needed to do to restore Ken Giles' confidence and build him up and get him toward a point where he could reassume the role he had last year. Resume the role he had last year. Obviously, right now, with all the blowups he's had, it's hard to think about, especially off of last night, making a conscious decision to announce he's now our full-time closer. I get that. Yeah. I know where we are. I'm cognizant of that.
Okay.
But
if you were AJ Hinch, what would you do?
Well, I mean, it's hindsight, and hindsight's always 20/20. But clearly, it feels like it backfired. It feels like that Ken Giles, maybe he expected to get the full-time gig earlier than what's happened. I don't know, but it feels like Ken Giles has, I mean, and we know this, he has completely melted down in non-save situations. I mean, the emotions are all over the map with this guy. So listen, I realize he's a wreck right now, especially off the way he came off the mound last night, but I can't help but wonder if they had just said,
Our closer.
He looked good in Florida.
Yeah.
We're going to put that behind us.
Yeah.
And we'll see where it takes us. We know we always have Hector Rondon and other options like Devensky and Peacock, if need be, Harris as well. But he's going to be the guy in most, if not all, save situations. How it might have gone, if at all, differently than the way it's gone right now.
Okay. I guess my whole point of this thing is the 12 for 12 means nothing to me, but it sounds like it means something to you. Okay. So
I don't care how you, I don't. Don't tell me how you made the sausage. Just if it's good, I'll eat it.
Okay, that's fine. So should he be the closer for this team right now?
Probably not, because that scares the hell out of me off of last night.
What? All right. It sounds like
I'm not offering a solution, Sean.
I'm just saying
I have to wonder.
If
they had approached this thing differently,
Rich, I get that.
Might we not be at a different point right now?
We all wonder the same things. My question to you is, what would you do if you were AJ Hinch? Would you do what AJ's doing now, which is just throw the guy out there like he's just another reliever, or would you use him as a closer for a team that could frankly use a regular closer right now?
I would be very tempted to limit his appearances to save situations. Let me finish. But not give these save situations exclusively to Ken Giles.
Okay.
Now, I know there's an issue of keeping him sharp and getting him out there enough so that he's maintains his stuff, but I think you can augment that sometimes with some bullpen sessions if you're concerned about that. But yeah, I might be tempted to say, you know what, we're just going to limit the save situations, but Hector Rondon is going to get some opportunities. Devensky might get some opportunities. Will Harris or Brad Peacock might get an opportunity.
Okay, but that's like the opposite of what you said AJ should have done coming out of spring training. You said he should have made him the guy.
I didn't say he should have made him the guy.
Okay,
I said
that's what I heard.
I did not say that.
I misheard you.
No, because that would be changing my opinion of it. Because as I said at the beginning of the season, when it was clear what the role was going to be, I was totally fine with it. Yeah. So I can't go back and say he should have done it differently when I was okay with it.
Yeah.
So no, I'm saying
you. I misheard you.
Hindsight being 20/20, might we be in a different spot right now if they had done that? I don't know, but I have to wonder that based on the dramatic difference in the non-save and save situations.
Yep.
And as BMAC pointed out, we were talking about this in the break. For an organization that comes up with mathematical reasons to do things, the numbers in save situations plus the efficiency in converting save situations, ultimately, I know there was a lot of noise last year.
Yeah.
I'm a little surprised they didn't come to this decision, if not earlier this season, maybe at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
I'm looking at his game log, and
I don't like you. I don't like you saying that your opinions are smart and mine are not. They're
I didn't
just
say
different.
That.
Yeah, you did.
I said mine. You said mine was just
being a smart person, which let's face it. That's a sort of veiled way of saying your opinion sucks. It's dumb.
I didn't mean it that way. I meant I was looking a little deeper than just the save stat is all. I find the save stat to be a very, like, wins.
But can you see how I might have taken that way? I'm just being a smart baseball person.
Yes,
is what
I
you
can
said.
See. I apologize if you took it that way.
You don't need to apologize. Yeah, I'm just being overly sensitive.
Okay, gotcha. I'm a hater. All right.
You're definitely a Giles hater in my book.
Yeah, there you go. All right. And that could be for either of us now. That could be for either of us. I'm assuming BMAC wants us to move on with off of the Ken Giles game log.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.